The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Happy Monday. I don't know how happy it is, but it's a Monday, and I assume that we'll get through another week. It does look interesting over in Ukraine and Europe in that there were apparently some kind of talks today between the U.S. and Russia. Don't know what, don't know how, but Turkey let the cat out of the bag and said there were talks going on. So it's hard to know what that means. And then there's another story. Zelensky is talking about, we're ready for peace. Well, he's burned through most of his military, and you'd kind of think that maybe he'd figure it out. I don't know. All right, we're going to have Nurse Anne on in about an hour, and we have so much material, we thought we'd do 2 hours tonight and get this, try and get this put in order as we go through the week. Hopefully a lot of you are listening to your local fire department, your EMT and fire dispatch on Broadcastify. It's kind of fun, if nothing else. And you'll get an idea of what's happening. And there are many things going on out there that we're simply not hearing about. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Welcome back, young lady.
No, thank you, Jeff. Good to be here again.
What have you been doing?
Oh, trying to keep up with the insanity.
Yeah. Okay, here's something that I think, honestly, all of you need to keep in mind. We all should. And that's, there is now a growing, I won't call it a backlash, but it is a reaction among the vaxxed. They're not disclosing their status as quickly and easily as they were. They're not as proud as they were. I'm getting reports now from people who say that they're working with people who are vaxxed, and when they ask those people, are you vaxxed, they say either something noncommittal, or they'll say, I haven't had the booster, so I'm safe, in other words. I'm safe if I don't get the booster. Wrong. At any rate, there's an effort to cover it up and hide it. And that's not bad. It's human nature, understandable. But it's a warning to all of the unvaxxed. And I know probably the majority of this audience is unvaxxed. And we think it is your right to remain unvaxxed and unshed upon, i.e. uncontaminated. So keep in mind that people are now beginning to noticeably lie about their vax status. Okay? So that's another factor that you have to work into this horrible equation of life and death. It's not easy. It's not fun. But people, and I know we have talked about this often, that, and it's been my suggestion that a lot of people are sick and having trouble, but they're not showing it. They're hiding it because of the humiliation, because they don't want anyone to say, I told you so. I told you not to get that shot. So people are just lying, or they're sick with things that they cannot or will not connect to the simple fact that they have been injected with the deadliest pathogen mankind has ever publicly come up with, and that's the spike protein.
Yeah, you are correct. I'm certainly seeing it.
I'm tired of being correct all the time. God.
Well, it's, we see the world through a similar lens. I'm seeing the hostility. You know, today I was out and there was just a feeling of gloom. You know, people are not as relaxed and jovial as what I would remember. And, you know, with the holidays approaching, there was more just joy.
Holidays?
Yeah,
holidays?
Just joy in the air. And I'm not seeing
it. Not now. No, that gloom jumped me when I woke up this morning. And it took almost all day to shake it off. And look, we're all bioelectrical. Our thoughts are energy. And we know that we can pick up the energetic frequency of other people. We know that. So if everyone out there, not everyone, but a lot of people out there are carrying a heavy load and they're depressed, they're not well, they got three or four shots or five shots and now they've got cancer, a sudden cancer diagnosis or cancer rears up from the past and all of a sudden it's back. We're seeing that all the time. It's very constant now. They're not going to talk about it. So they're keeping it within. And that's another reason why people are gloomy. It's a terrible load to carry. I mean, I don't know how many of them do it. But there is a lot of lying going on. And I won't say it's the most vicious or malicious kind of lying, but it's lying nonetheless. People are not being forthright about their vax status and or their health status.
No. And there are a lot of people that I sense a fear still, some sort of trepidation. They realize these vaccines are not working. So they're fearful of being around other people as they should be. We are a sick society right now. There's no question.
Well, the problem is the vaccines are working.
Well, for their intended purpose, but not for the reasons these people took them.
Right.
So I still see that, you know, people, they don't want to really interact with each other. They're suspicious. They're fearful, right. Maybe.
Totally understandable. This whole thing has been lubricated with one of the most primal of all human emotions, primal and devastating, and that's fear. It's fear-based. This whole thing has been fear-based and predicated on very carefully constructed psychological profiles of how the masses react. They know.
Right, yeah.
No mystery.
And I do see the hostility is very apparent in the driving. Very,
really?
Very apparent. Yeah. I'm not
Tell
seeing
me.
so much, you know, in just, you know, interactions that you would have in a store. People are still reasonably courteous and right. but they are wary, I would say. They're wary of each other. But the hostility, that could be for a variety of reasons. Maybe they are upset, feeling duped that they were tricked into taking these things and they didn't
sure
work.
Were.
And now they're looking at some fairly serious consequences, probably, with really no help. The medical establishment is just going through motions, not really curing anything. You know. And I think one of the big things is I keep harping now on this iron. The iron is huge. The iron will drive, it's renowned for causing anger and hostility. High levels of iron in the body.
Okay, hold on right there. This is very important, and you'll hear this nowhere else. Iron is linked to hostile behavior. Okay? We do want to remember that we are being affected and impacted by all people around us. And if they're generally unhappy and angry, it's going to change the quality of life for everybody. That's part of it. And they know this,
yep.
The controllers.
Yep.
They know very well. I didn't know that iron was linked to behavioral animosity or aggression. That's a new one to me.
Yeah, anger. That's you can look it up. Iron overload or hemochromatosis. It's a feature of, you know, too much iron in the tissues. It accumulates in various organs, and some of which is in the brain, in particular, the anterior pituitary gland, which is part of your endocrine system, you know, and to some extent involves your mood, your ability to deal with stress.
Anterior pituitary, as opposed
to the posterior. But
so
there
are two pituitaries, or are you just talking about two parts of the same one?
Two parts of it.
Okay.
Anterior and posterior. But, you know, the iron generally gets stored first in the liver. And, you know, if you know anything about Chinese medicine, you know, the liver is the seat of anger.
I didn't know that. I didn't?
Yeah. Can be, yep.
Interesting.
You've got a congested liver. Malfunctioning liver.
except when it's overcome by gloom. It's just you go out, and I mean, three women slapped me in the store the other day. Three different women. I don't understand it. I'm just a nice person, and they just come up to me and slap me.
Well,
the hell
you
I
must
do
have
wrong?
Provoked them.
Come on. Anyway, it's just different out there, and it's never going to be as it was. Okay, here's Dr. Michael Eden. This is the clearest signal of reproduction harm after the COVID-19 vaccine I've seen to date. And it's a short statement. He says, this is directly pulled from VAERS with no manipulation. Well, hell, VAERS is manipulated from A to Z, so let's just put that in there as a footnote. Therefore, it can and must be shared widely. The minimum benefit I anticipate flowing from this is that individual women will decline any further injections if they've had any to date. Best case is that people will begin to draw conclusions that I think are starkly obvious. Number one, young women were never in the elevated risk category of getting COVID. So administration of these so-called vaccines was never indicated. Number two, in any case, for 60 years since thalidomide, we've never administered novel medical procedures to pregnant women. And I'll add, amen. We leave them alone. We nurture them. We make sure they get the best care. But we don't give them drugs like this. Never. Number three, the manufacturers hadn't even completed basic required reproductive toxicology studies. They might have argued that by convention, these studies have never been required by regulators for injected vaccines. Perhaps. But these agents are in no way related to old-style products. Number four, third parties had publicly warned about potentially toxic mechanisms built into the very design of these agents, i.e. these bioweapons, warnings which triggered attacks and censorship. And number five, VAERS has many flaws, but it cannot even be pretended that the truly enormous increase in stillbirths and miscarriages after COVID injections, the vax, compared to the track records of all other vaccines since VAERS was founded 30 years ago. It's not even close. The increase is through the roof. This is from Mike Eden. All right, good points.
Well, it all starts to make sense when you realize these are not pharmaceutical products.
No,
right?
They're owned by... Tell our friends. Just remind them.
This is a military operation. These are the property of the DOD. They've been manufactured to their specification, and they're being distributed according to their specifications.
Deployed, as in battlefield deployment. These are weapons systems being deployed.
And if you've been following Sasha Latipova's research, you know, she pretty much nails it when she said the CDC and the FDA are nothing but props in this theater.
Right.
They have no authority over any of this, and they're just masquerading as some sort of authority to act as some kind of a decoy for people to direct their anger and frustration at. And, of course, nothing will be done because they have no control over it.
I hope all that registered with you, and don't expect to be able to go out amongst mixed vax company and tell people that it's not a Pfizer or Moderna-owned weapon. This is a Department of Defense military-grade weapons system. Okay, it's a system. It's multiple injections. It's not just a one-off deal. Now they're working on, what would it be, their sixth? The sixth shot will be the bivalent one, which is showing every indication of being by far the worst.
I almost wonder, you know, this being the case, and I've now heard that from many people who've experienced it firsthand, if maybe they've tightened up their process controls in terms of producing it.
Quality,
you know,
the
initial ones were rolled out in massive quantities. They had very little control over the end product. So likely there were a number of people that just got duds. You know, they were not successfully transfected. They were injected with some poisons, you know, lipid nanoparticles and fragmented RNA, which would be toxic in and of themselves. That would produce a reaction. But they were probably not successfully transfected, so they would not have been producing spike protein and suffered the consequences of just a massive influx of
Oh, let's listen to the dispatch.
Okay.
Hold it. See if you can turn it up.
All right. It's a 50-year-old male, unresponsive. He's in the downtown area.
Well, see, there's another one that fits the profile.
There's been a lot of calls today. A lot of calls.
He's unresponsive. He's on the ground. What happened? Did he die suddenly? Don't know. But that goes, so it's been busy today, huh?
Yeah, steady. Steady.
Yeah. And that's, Erica doesn't live in a big city. This is a smaller town. But it's hopping, okay?
Yeah, some days they're running back to back.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in any mind at all to follow this, you can. It's just go to Broadcastify, and type in your city, and it should come up. There's a one-off, one-time commercial in the beginning, like 60 seconds or something. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, yep.
And then you're in commercial-free, and you can listen. And these, what you just heard are in the background, was unresponsive. What does that mean? That means someone is on the ground, and they're unresponsive. Are they breathing? We don't know. The EMTs will find out. But these kinds of things are very indicative of the profile of catastrophe after getting shot up. Okay, now back to what you were saying. Quality control, yes, we think that's an issue. Someone also raised the concept that there were no... what's he saying?
Oh, it looks like an overdose. They're asking for Narcan. Yeah, we have that going on, too, the fentanyl thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what was I saying? You got me off on fentanyl.
That some people probably got duds.
Okay. There was some talk, and we talked about it, were there placebos out there? Somebody said, I forget who it was it Nass? Somebody said, no placebos. We think they were just, you used the word perfectly, duds. People got doses that were not functional for whatever
reason.
Well,
Ryan Cole said it, and Sasha Latipova, with all that, the agglomeration of these people that submitted what their findings were in these vials, right. A picture emerged, and then you could look at the, you know, which batches were particularly toxic and others were not, and it basically came down to a quality control issue and a mixing issue, and the
and a
mRNA
contamination issue,
and a contamination. I mean, there were multiple steps along the way for contaminants to be introduced, and you know, just oversights to occur, adulterations to occur. But the mRNA, it's very, very fragile. So it has to be delicately encased in these lipid nanoparticles. And it's likely that when they went to mass production, that part of the process was not perfected before they just started churning the stuff out. And, you know, if it's not kept at a precise temperature, it'll just degrade. And it's likely that in... You know, it wasn't a totally homogenized solution, suspension. So there may have been lipid nanoparticles that rose to the top of this and had viable mRNA while the bottom part didn't. And that may be in the larger vials or in the syringes themselves. You know, there was very little quality control in this whole thing. But I wonder now if you know, they've been doing this for 2 years, they know where the breaks are in the system, I guess, and they can tighten up on those parameters.
So
you have a more viable
more
end product.
And more deadly. That's
right.
What they're doing.
That's one possibility.
Okay.
I mean, there could be something totally different in these things. We don't know.
Right. Well, and we just go back to the other issue of how many stories have there been of people who had cancer, and they get shot up for a year or a year and a half with several shots, and all of a sudden the cancer is back, and it's unstoppably back. Now,
and I would say even if you got a dud, even if you just got lipid nanoparticles,
that's
that
enough.
Cancer possibility, I mean, that was known from the beginning, that these lipid nanoparticles all by themselves, they don't have to contain any mRNA, they are carcinogenic.
Right.
It's that SM-102... that Moderna uses, the lipid nanoparticle that Moderna uses for theirs, is designated as a class 1A carcinogen.
So how did it get into the bioweapon, if it was
it's for experimental purposes,
it's a joke.
For research.
They knew damn well what they were doing.
Yes,
they put
they
a
did.
Carcinogen in the bioweapon to give it yet another tentacle of anti-life performance, which is what these are. They're anti-life. They're breaking down...
Yep.
The living organism as we know it. Okay, we talked about this, and it primarily came out of India. It was a black fungus that people were showing up with, and
That's
now
right.
we're getting some reports over here of what they're calling black hairy tongue, and one of the websites covering this, SHTF, shit hit the fan. Talks about it. And they're saying black hairy tongue, now the latest cover excuse for COVID vaccine-induced death. So I guess the gist is they're going to use black hairy tongue as the culprit.
Yeah, so this was on the heels of that. Is it Julie Powell?
Julie Powell.
Her obituary. She was a vaccine zealot. And
she was a food writer, a journalist.
Food writer,
so to speak.
And she was, you know, no, and made no bones about shaming people who didn't want to get the vax. And she has now subsequently died. But one of her complaints shortly before she died was this condition that she developed called black hairy tongue. Now they'll tell you that that's benign and it's representative of a shift in the bacteria in the mouth.
Here's what real quick, SHTF says to parrot what you're saying. They're saying this is a harmless oral condition that looks alarming but typically does not cause any health issues. Good oral hygiene is the cure, but we'll most likely hear about black hairy tongue syndrome or epidemic that requires an mRNA vaccine. The CDC can highly recommend as totally safe and effective treatment and prevention. Okay, that's probably true. And if it does become common, there will be an effort to push an mRNA vax our way, another weapon system. This is a harmless oral condition that looks alarming, but typically does not cause any health issues. I would suggest, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but that looks anything but harmless and a nuisance. It looks like a symptom of something very bad going on, and you have some really interesting ideas about that.
It's basically representative of iron overload in the tissues. What happens is it's a hallmark feature of iron dysregulation, which, you know, here we are again with the iron. So what happens is there's an accumulation of iron in tissues and the secretions, meaning the saliva, and a lack of it in circulation. This is common in this spike protein poisoning. It's the iron will feed this type of bacteria, chromogenic bacteria, and you know, crowd out whatever the normal microbiome is in the mouth. So these things love iron.
Bacteria
and so
loves
she
iron,
died.
Right? Yeah.
What's that?
Bacteria loves iron.
Yeah, particularly some of these aggressive pathogenic ones. And apparently, you know, there are species that thrive on it, like that the black fungus in India. That was a Mucormycetes. And that one, yes, it thrives on iron.
Wow. Okay. See, it makes more sense all the time.
So this is indicative that this disorder here is indicative of a woman that has severe, I would say severe, iron dysregulation, and the hairy tongue is going to be the least of her problems.
The least.
Or black hairy tongue, I should say.
Yeah, if you were to look
on
the
other
end of that tongue.
And she died, what, a week later? Yeah. 10 days later?
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, just imagine what's in your digestive tract and God knows where else, all your major organs. This could be a last stage symptom. A black tongue.
Well, it's suggestive that you're getting iron overload in places where you don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, most concerning would be the heart. And I wonder how much of this chest pain that people are experiencing after these things is actually a sign of iron overload. Certainly pain in the joints is indicative of iron overload, and so is fatigue and lethargy.
Well, most people will call that arthritis, or something.
Yeah.
They won't get it. Here, Julie Powell tweeted before her death, she was 49, and a food writer. And I think she wrote for the New York Times? One of those. Anyway, she was well known. Tweeted before her death that anti-vaxxers and mask wearers are dying in legions because COVID does kill some of the right people. That's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Pretty damn nasty.
Yeah.
So she was a bioweapon pusher and propagandist.
Yeah.
So she kind of, I won't say poetic justice. We don't like to see people die, but when you shoot your mouth off like that, really nasty. She says, or she said, Julie Powell tweeted out, "I would argue that COVID does kill some of the right people. The anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers, are the pro-maskers, are dying in legions." Sounds like a recipe for disaster to wish death upon the fully unvaccinated these days, which is what she did. Not good.
That's not the first, public figure that has...
No, lots of them.
Yeah.
Been lots of them. They're making an issue out of hers, maybe because they're tying it into the black tongue part. I don't know, but it's hard to know. Okay, so there you go. Black tongue. We used to worry about white tongue, candida.
Yeah, right.
No more. Now we worry about black tongue. Can't call us racists anymore, I guess. Okay, that was a joke. Let's see. It's hard to get jokes out in these gloomy days. Hold on. Here's another Mike Eden thing. Then we're going to play a little video. Mike Eden says, "This is the single most important message I have ever written." And he says, "Dear everyone who is nervously looking around and is asking, what the hell is going on here? I hope this isn't too controversial. It's certainly frightening, but I believe we are still on the right side of disaster. And if enough of us become aware of what is happening here and everywhere in the democratic world, we can recover the situation." Just as a personal aside, I'm not speaking for Erica, but I really do think that the barn is empty and the door is open. It's well down the road to catastrophe. So I would disagree with Dr. Eden on that.
Unfortunately, yeah.
"We really," he says, "don't have long. I believe it's likely things will change irretrievably over this coming winter." It's already happened, Mike. "Hence this urgent and unusual request. Everything that's happened and is happening becomes much simpler, and it all makes sense only when you force yourself to think the impossible. If you experimentally adopt the position that our, quote, government is actively working to harm us, to dismantle modern society and enslave all people in a digitally controlled totalitarian world, it all fits. Nothing is surplus. Nothing's left over. It fits." And that's, he is correct about that. "Even if your immediate response is that this is absurd, please just try it on for a day or two and see if it might fit. It's common sense. I ask you further to adopt the experimental position that the media, controlled by just six global corporations, all allied to a single global organization, and you've all heard of this, is relentlessly lying to you and has been doing so for over 2.5 years now. Same for the internet, controlled by fewer global corporations, also all allied to that same global organization." Boy, he's walking a fine line there. He doesn't want to get Kanye Wested. He's being careful. It's the same people. "Sorry, facts are facts. Because I'm certain it's true. I am certain because this all started with a scientific fraud relating to a virus, augmented it with a relentless campaign of fear, imposed measures known to be useless, which wrecked the economy and smashed civil society, then coerced most to accept useless, unnecessary, ineffective, and deliberately dangerous injections. Obviously, this is an odious crime. Nothing like it has ever happened before. I've been 41 years in life sciences, from training to successful biotech CEO, and was worldwide research head and vice president of Pfizer's respiratory unit from 1995 all the way to 2011. I have absolutely no incentive to say any of this if I wasn't certain about it. I am certain. This all took place in my wheelhouse, my domain of expertise. Please consider what I've said. I've given over 70 interviews, all censored. I've been fully and foully smeared. It's propaganda. It tells you what they're capable of." And he goes on to there. Let me just wind it up. "They are coming for you and your children. It is happening. There's ample evidence emerging of long-term patient planning. I'm so sorry. It's now up to you. I genuinely don't see what else I can do. Best wishes and sincere thanks, Dr. Michael Eden." So,
well said.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you've got something here. Oh, interesting. Why don't you read this, what you just sent?
Yeah, okay, so people are starting to notice, in some vaxxed, rapid aging, I would call it. And somebody posted this in the shedding group sometime last week. It's an interesting observation. It seems to be a trend. Lately, I have seen many my age, I'm 31 and unjabbed, who are jabbed and they are eagerly aging. Many of my friends have now early aging in their 30s.
Eerily, too.
Yeah, eerily. Say so. Many of my friends now have gray hair, women in their early 30s. They have aged quickly since they took the jabs. Has anyone else seen this? And what could this be a sign of? Today, two of my friends, my age, have totally gray hairs coming, and they are even thinking it is because of the jabs, but they are busy coloring them away. Maybe there are hairdressers here who have seen the same. I started to be worried for them. I know oxidative stress can make you gray earlier and age, but what is happening inside their bodies when we see this now?
Wow. All
right, well,
for you
she
out
is
there,
correct.
Yes, you
it
cosmetologists
is oxidative stress
out there. Yeah, it's go ahead. Go ahead.
Again, we touched on this last week with this lipid peroxidation that's occurring because of the buildup in iron in the tissues, for one. The tissues are starved of oxygen, and then you get this iron buildup, and then you get horrendous oxidative stress from that. And, so you will age. That the lipid peroxidation is a hallmark of aging. And accompanying that will be this buildup of aldehydes, again, which is a hallmark of aging. And so the more of these build up, the faster the clock goes. And you get all of these degenerative conditions, not the least of which are neurodegenerative diseases from the buildup of these aldehydes.
All right, where do we most commonly hear the term aldehyde?
Oh,
just
well,
to bring people up to speed. It's involved with the perfume industry, understand that?
Yes.
So that's where some of you might
It's a byproduct of alcohol metabolism. I mean, they are abundant. We encounter them, we produce them, but we have ways to manage them, especially when we're young. Everything is in a nice balance, and they get produced, and they get converted into less toxic metabolites. But, yes, some of them are renowned for being fragrant. And these smells that people are noting from some of the vax now are just representative, I would say, of this production of these types of aldehydes, these long chain types. And the perfume industry knows which ones exactly are responsible for what types of smells. You're not imagining it. There's no doubt that they are aging quickly because of this process, this uncontrolled oxidative stress that's occurring.
Another dispatch.
Yeah, they're going back to the barn.
Oh, okay. It's really important to understand that this is a diabolically sophisticated, multifaceted genocide that's underway. We have everything from CJD, prion disease in the brain, all the way down to your toes turning black from microclotting. Microclotting occurs from head to foot, and when it occurs in the brain, and it does, the brain cells die, and there are two types of cells in your body that the body cannot replace, the heart and the brain. So when you begin to lose brain cells, you get a little foggy in the head. You don't think as clearly. Certainly, the pituitary may be involved. Other glands, they're all interrelated. But people's personalities are changing. There's no question. We're getting so many reports of this now. It's obvious. They're being ruined. They're nasty. They're mean. They're not the same people. It's not their fault. They're just not the same people. Okay. Anything else to add to the aldehyde thing? That's important. We did talk about VOCs.
The aldehydes, you know, on a cellular level are very toxic. Some of them are mutagenic, meaning they can damage your DNA. And people that have deficiencies in the enzyme that metabolizes aldehydes, aldehyde dehydrogenase deficiency, they age a lot faster. They're at higher risk for cancer and these neurodegenerative diseases because of this accumulation of aldehydes and the damage that they cause within the body. So they smell nice in some cases. They don't always smell like flowers and citrus. They can smell sometimes metallic, and they can smell musty, or then maybe not at all.
Or they can smell like an outhouse in the middle
of July.
Well,
you know, I think that is something on top of...
That's putrescence.
Yeah, I think it's issues with the liver. I mean, we had this portal hypertension that causes the gases to be rerouted and just, you know, come out of the breath.
Well, wherever they're coming out of, these aromas run the gamut from mildly pleasant, if you can use that term, to horrible and overwhelming in their intensity. Now, you had I don't know if you want to share this, but you ran across an example that I've smelled it, the cologne, we'll call it the cologne smell. I can't come up with a better word, twice on two different people. And one whiff of the real bad, the outhouse, just is in a market. Mm. I just walked down an aisle, there's no one there, and it just wafted by. Someone had been there.
I believe I've smelled the strong perfume one a couple times, and I don't think you'd tend to notice it necessarily so much on women, because women often use perfume, so you wouldn't think about, you know, that this person smells odd. But when you come across a man smelling very strongly of you know, it's not even a masculine type cologne, it's more flowery, it's odd. You figure, I don't know, maybe he's got a new shampoo he's using or a new laundry detergent. I don't know, but it's strong. And then the one I smelled today it smelled more like carpet deodorizer. It wasn't quite a laundry detergent or dryer sheet. It was more like a, you know, the stuff you sprinkle on your carpet to make it smell good, if you're into that sort of thing. But it almost pierced the nose. It was so strong.
Pierced the nose. That's a strong one. The two I smelled were the perfume cologne kind of thing, and very, very, very much too strong. No one would.
Yeah, they just bowled
like
over by the strength of it.
They were bathing in it almost. It smelled like. Mm. It was bizarre, and they weren't the type to have just walked out of the closet last week and change their lifestyle, so no. And we wonder about those giving off the aroma, the vapors, the aldehydes. Are they doing it all the time, or is this an intermittent kind of a phenomenon?
I'm going to guess it's intermittent. I mean, they're a product of your metabolism, and you know, it may be having to do with the circadian rhythm, the time of day, hormone levels, what you've eaten, stress.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of
You know, that poison dart frog that secretes the toxin onto its skin, it's an interesting situation, because that frog in captivity does not produce the toxin. It only produces it in the wild, and they've traced it back to something in that frog's diet. They think it's some kind of a beetle. But the toxin, the production of the toxin is dependent on what that frog eats.
That's interesting. I didn't know that until you told
me.
So
there's many, many factors in play here.
All right. Now, let's go back to this effort, this recent, it's a war. They've launched a major attack. on people's common understanding of the spike protein, all right, and the mRNA component itself in the shots. They're trying to tell us now that there are no spike proteins, that it's graphene oxide. Well, I'm sure you've all seen that here and there, and some of the sources are widely known, but they're widely doing all of us a grave disservice. If you look at the German study, it's up there on the right-hand side in the archive. They couldn't find any, and they looked and looked and looked and looked, and so have others. It's not there. It's just not there. So it's a good misdirection ploy. But that's all it is. It's just not the truth. It's like hydras. There were no hydras. Those were contaminants.
Yeah, what they're trying to suggest, even if it wasn't there, you know, it would not be doing the things that we're seeing.
No, they're blaming it for everything.
Right, right. And we can attribute a lot of what's happening, probably all of what's happening, to the presence of a spike protein, a very, very noxious, toxic, potentially lethal protein.
Well, and now we have another one in the bivalent booster as the Omicron half, with its two variants apparently in and of itself, will obviously have a spike protein, which we don't know what it does. We don't know. We've pieced together what the Wuhan spike does. We've got a pretty good idea about that. Go ahead.
Well, this is probably similar, but you know, we don't know fully. You know, it's been reasonably characterized. There's only, I believe, one amyloidogenic sequence in it, as opposed to seven in the Wuhan spike.
When you say seven, are those the seven spots, locations on the spike that when it cleaves are ready and waiting for any protein?
Yes, when it's
misfolded. Right.
Right, right. So whatever protein it comes into contact with can cause it to lose its normal conformation and just fold up and be non-functional and aggregate and cause real problems because they can't be degraded.
No. All right. Here, I'm going to play this again, then we have to take our break. This is Dr. Chetty, and I want to give him credit again. This is November 2021. This is over a year ago, and he was the first person to really stand up, South African doctor, and speak about the spike. Let's just listen to this. I know I've played it before, but we think it's very important, and he does deserve the credit. He was the first one.
Now, the most important thing, I think, for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction. Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it.
Got it? That's what it was built to do. The DOD went to Pfizer and Moderna and said, here, we need two different forms of this particular weapons system. I'll speak for them. And they were built. Moderna.
Well, let's not forget J&J and AstraZeneca were in on this too.
They were all aware. They were all guilty. But the big two we always talk about are the Moderna, Pfizer, but at J&J, yeah, of course. And maybe the deadliest of all version was the AstraZeneca.
Which, yeah, that had a lot of clotting.
Could have come out of GCHQ in England. Mm-hmm. It might have worked with DOD. and had their own ideas. I don't know. But, yeah, that was clot death. And apparently, those clots early on and super quickly were most likely, now I don't know, but I'm going to guess that they were more blood clot oriented than amyloid clots because of the rapidity with which they appeared.
I would say you're right.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a reaction to that adenoviral vector. I mean, that it was renowned. Adenoviruses used as gene transfection vectors were renowned for this type of problem, this clotting problem. And then that systemic inflammatory response of just multi-organ system failure.
Yep. All right, here we go. I'm going to play a little bit more of this, and we're going to take our short interlude here. Here's Dr. Chetty again.
This direction. Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda. Now, we've got an engineered virus, and we've got a mandated vaccine that follow on each other. So basically what looks like has transpired here, they've engineered a virus and put on this weapons grade package onto it called spike protein. Now spike protein, remember...
Okay, we'll stop right there and take our break and come right back another hour for you. Stand by.